The scripture reading for this morning will be Galatians chapter 3, verses 27 through 29. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise.
Good morning, church. It's glad to see everybody out here today. I see that you came through the horrendous 70-degree and sunny conditions that are outside to make it to church today, so I appreciate that. For those of you that are at home, we're longing for the day that we can all be back together, and we just are truly excited for that day when this whole pandemic is behind us. And as David mentioned last week, we don't know. Maybe it's a couple of months, maybe it's a couple of years. But Lord willing, we'll all be together again, all in physical presence together someday in the near future. As you can tell, we're actually continuing on with David's lesson last week. I like his props so much that I decided to keep them up here. So, and I'm going to give the same disclaimer that he gave. I've not been in the military. I'm not a military historian. And so if I say anything today that might be a little off with accuracy on the military, I do apologize. And I do know that this was probably never, ever assigned to any military soldier, okay? So I am aware of that. However, if I do say something today that is a little off, I would appreciate it if you came and talked to me about it, because I love to learn, and so I would like to understand some more things about the military. But last week, if you remember, his lesson was based on, are we on a cruise ship? Now this right here, now I know that a little bit more. I'm pretty sure I've seen my dad wear that outfit once or twice, all right? Now, you wouldn't think so, all right, tough football coach. But I've seen him wear, I've seen pictures too, all right? Come back, he had a straw hat on and a nice little Hawaiian-looking shirt. I guess when in Cozumel, you do what they do in Cozumel, right? You wear a flowery shirt and a wide-brim hat. So that I know a little bit about, but the military not as much about. But last week's lesson was about, are we on a cruise ship or are we on a battleship? Are we here to be served or are we here to serve? And every week David likes to start us off with reminding us of what it says on our website, on our homepage. It says that we are not a place for satisfied customers, but rather for growing disciples who long to be more like Jesus. And ultimately, that's what we're all about here. That's what the church as a whole should be all about. We need all hands on deck. And so I'm going to go through a brief description and continuing with this whole battleship mentality. You know, we have six branches of our military, and some of you are like, whoa, we have five. Well, just within the last, was it year or two, we now have a sixth. So many of you in this room that have served in the military, you served with five branches. And then even if I say five branches, there's going to be an argument between the Navy and the Coast Guard, right? Because then the Navy says, Coast Guard guys, really? You're going to call them a branch? Oh, don't get that started. I've heard some arguments that get dragged up pretty bad on that one. But there are six official branches to the military. The latest one, the newest one being Air Force. Wait, I'm sorry, not Air Force, Space Force. I get the two of them mixed up. You have air above us and then space above that. So both of them, I guess, are forceful. Air Force, Space, I don't know. But that is our most recent branch of military. Now, if we move on to the next one here. So we know there's six different branches that if you decided, hey, I wanted to go serve in the armed forces in the United States of America, there's six opportunities for you. And I'm not a recruiter either, so don't think I'm playing the recruiter's role today. I'm not. Let's just look at one of them. Let's take the Navy. Since we're talking about battleships, let's talk about the Navy. According to OperationMilitaryKids.org, there are 93 different ratings within the Navy, which means there's 93 different opportunities to serve. And I know you can't read all of those. They're small for a reason. I wanted to try to put them all onto the same page. Some of you youngsters out there with good eyes can probably read those. Others maybe not. Those of you at home, I am so sorry, because that's going to be too small to see up here, right? It's right up here at home. Everybody in the audience doesn't know what I'm doing, but it's right here. It's super small. I'm going to highlight a few of these items for you, though. And as I mention these items, I want you to pay attention to how different they are from one another. Aviation structural mechanic. We have a builder. We have a cryptologic technician. A culinary specialist. Fancy way to say cook. Fire controlman. Hospital corpsman. You have a logistics specialist. You have a legal man. Mass communication specialist. Missile technician. Religious program specialist, a steel worker, and a yeoman. So let's take a couple of these. You have a firefighter, and an attorney. Those are pretty far apart. We do have a couple of firefighters with us here today. You guys want to practice any law? Or would you be willing to defend me in a case? No, not quite. Kind of far apart on what they actually do. A yeoman. Now, I didn't know and that's the last one that's spelled ye-o-man. I didn't know what that was. I had to look it up. I guess it's kind of a clerical type person, according to what I saw. Kind of secretary type roles, but maybe a little bit more involved in that. And then, let's say you have a cook. Okay, let's look at this one. A cook and a missile technician. So one guy puts together food, and one guy puts together missiles. Both of them can be dangerous, right? If you don't believe me, go to Taco Bell. I'm just saying. But both of them are dangerous. Both of them have quite different duties in the military. So you're sitting here thinking, okay, now these are ways to serve in the United States military. But Jason, if I want to get involved with the Lord's army, the Lord's military, you know, I don't speak very well. I don't like getting in front of groups of people to speak. I'm really not even that good at I know the Bible. I'm just not that, I kind of freeze up when it comes to that moment to start speaking to people about Jesus. So I just don't know if there's really somewhere for me to serve. Well, if we go back to the previous list, that's about the same as saying, you know, I'm not good at firing guns and captaining ships. If you look on that list, almost everybody I brought up, they didn't fire guns and they didn't captain ships. They had somewhere to serve in the Navy. It's the same with the Lord's Church and with the Lord's Army. There are a number of different ways we can serve in the Lord's Church, in the Lord's Army. If we look at a few examples of just individuals, keep in mind, I'm not saying all of these were done well, as noted by the first individual on our list here, but I am saying that these were positions that there were in the early church. So Judas, he was actually the treasurer, and that is one thing that got him into trouble, but he was in charge of the money. Timothy was a preacher. Philip, well, there was a couple of Philips. There was the apostle, and then there was the evangelist. Peter, he was an elder, a leader, a shepherd. Tertius was a scribe. He took notes, kind of a secretary. Stephen, he took care of widows. Lydia, she opened up her house. She hosted all kinds of church meetings and events. If we go to groups of people, the Philippians, they're noted for being very generous in giving money to help out other struggling congregations. Maybe other areas were going through droughts and they didn't have much food. They would pass on food, but they were generous in their giving. Barnabas was known as the son of encouragement. He was an encourager. He was really good at encouraging people. And then Jesus washed feet. Now, I kind of like this list because you have kind of the lowliest thing on this list not dealing with money, not preaching or teaching, not taking care of widows, not giving money, not encouraging, but the lowliest thing on this list is washing someone's dirty, grimy feet. But the person who's doing this is the person that's the highest on our list. And in our modern paved street society where we drive cars everywhere, this might not mean as much, but I have lived in an environment where the streets weren't paved, they were all dirt roads, and all of the women wore sandals. They would walk miles to get to where they were going, and then miles to get back home. They wanted to go to the grocery store, they didn't hop in their car with their tennis shoes on a paved road. They would walk miles on an unpaved road, get their groceries, and walk miles back home on an unpaved road. But when they got back home, their feet were not clean. I can't imagine my Lord and Savior bending down, washing the feet, serving in a manner that most of us would think, well, that's kind of below me a little bit. If we bump up from just individuals, we actually bump up to examples that we have in the Bible of different ways to serve. So once again, this isn't just individual serving. This is just different examples we have. And these are all pretty much from the New Testament. And once again, this is kind of small. So for those of you at home, I'll go ahead and read through the list. So these are different ways in the Bible we have examples of how to serve. You can pray. You can host. You can take care of the orphans. You can visit widows. You can take care of the widows. You can visit the sick. You can take care of the sick or heal the sick. You can visit prisoners. There are secretary duties. You can encourage. Write letters. Transcribe or record events. You can clean, cook, organize events. Give money / resources. You can collect the money. You can manage the money. You can preach. You can teach men. You can teach women. You can teach children. You can evangelize. There are leadership positions. People need to be in charge of the funerals. You need to console and comfort. Singing is an option. Preparing the Lord's Supper. Or maybe even finding a place to worship or meet. You can help escape, provide security, plan, profess, defend, communicate with different groups. And then the last one is change your life. These are all different ways of serving. The reason I say that last one is change your life. In Romans 12:1, it tells us that our legitimate service to the Lord is pretty much living a godly life. And a couple of these I have italicized, and I want to kind of talk about them just a little bit, because in our modern-day society, it's a little bit different than it was back in Jesus' time. A lot of these are going to be the same. People who cooked in, a lot of this is almost the same ways to cook now. Teaching, the same way. Organizing events, a lot of that can be done by the same types of people. A couple of items that are different, but transcribing and recording events. I know a couple of months ago, we were looking for some audiovisual people to help us out with their technology, because we were trying to get up with the times. You know, COVID causes everybody to have to switch around, and we had to update our camera system and how we do things here. And we need more audiovisual people to help us out. So, recording events, back in Jesus' time, you had individuals sitting on the side transcribing everything that they witnessed or that occurred or that happened. In our time, maybe it's writing things down, but maybe it's capturing it on video or on audio. We still need people to do that today. Communicating with different groups of people. That's so much easier now than it's ever been in the history of the world. Not only do you have Zoom and Skype to where you can talk with anybody anywhere in the entire world, but there's also all these translation programs as well. You say what you want to say, and then you give it 15 seconds, and it spits it out in the other language. It's so much easier now to communicate with people all around the world. So that is something else that's also changed quite a bit since Jesus' time. And if you feel like that's a role that you could take on to help out the church, maybe that's something you need to look into a little bit. So, I pulled this one. Many of you are familiar with the old Uncle Sam, right? I want you to serve in the Army. These posters back that came back up in World War II, trying to get people to volunteer their time and their energy. You know, you had the, what was her name? The Susie, the lady who had her, what was it her own? Susie? Rosie, not Susie. Rosie the Riveter, thank you. So Rosie the Riveter poster, you had Uncle Sam saying, hey, he needs you to donate your time or your money to the Army. So this one is kind of a little replacement here. And it's saying that Jesus needs us to be in his army. And if we go through Galatians 3:27, which was read for us this morning, it says, as many of you that were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So when you're baptized into Christ, and other versions would say you've been clothed with Christ, so it's like you have that patch on your shoulder that says, I'm in Jesus' army. You go overseas, you have guys wearing different types of uniforms, but you look at the patch on their arm and it tells you where they're from. It tells you even which group they're part of. Maybe it won't even tell you they're just from the U.S. It tells you which infantry group they're in. Us, we have a patch on our arm that says the Lord's Army. That's who we belong to. And so, this is the feeling a lot of us have, right? After we join the Lord's army. We're added to the body of Christ. You see these Navy men on the right up here, they're throwing their hats in the air. They're celebrating. They're having such a good time. They're excited about being a part of something. Does that sound familiar? Right? We're added to the Lord's body. We're added to the church. We're excited about it. We're gung-ho about it. We want to get involved. And then we spend a little bit of time, and we end up here. Now, I know I tried to lighten this picture up. It's kind of hard to see. Yeah, the one on the right up there is just, it's a Navy man just reading a book. The one in the middle is fishing. And the one on the left, it looks like he maybe is fixing up some nets or something like that. They're really not doing much Navy men work. Pretty sure they don't need him to have a fishing pole catching fish for the whole Navy. This is their free time. Now, I know you thought that whenever Ben left, we wouldn't have any more references to C.S. Lewis. Now, I don't do a lot of C.S. Lewis reading, but I do know of this book called The Screwtape Letters. And in this book, you have an older demon who is writing, it's fictional, he have an older demon writing letters to his nephew, and the older demon's name is Screwtape, and he's sending these letters to his nephew called Wormwood. And Wormwood's gung-ho about winning souls for Satan. And Screwtape tells him, calm down a little bit. The easiest way to win souls for Satan is to make him think that they're all right. Is it's to get them to be passive and irresponsible with their faith. If we can make them think that there's not an issue, then we've won them to our side. That kind of sends chills up my spine. Because I know that me personally, there's been several times that I've been passive in my faith. I know several times I've been irresponsible with my faith. I've taken it for granted. I've been this guy here reading a book, right? Now, he's probably on his off time, on his free time, so that's fine to do. But if that's my working time as a Christian, and I'm over here just reading a book, chilling, and I'm fishing, that's not appropriate in the Lord's army. And once again, the best ways to win Christians, especially here in the United States, where it seems like we have so many benefits and so many privileges, it's easy to become passive. I'm there with you. I mean, it's easy to say I'm busy at work. I get home. I just want to relax. I'm working 5-6 days a week. I just want to relax, turn on the TV, and veg out. When I go to church, I don't want to. I just want to sit there and worship God and then go home. I'm there. I mean, I've been there a lot of times. And it's just one of those things that every one of us have to constantly have our own self-reflections on what am I doing? Am I being passive? Am I helping the church out at all? And like I said, I'm not getting on to anybody. It's tough. I mean, if this was a class, we would have a legitimate conversation because it's easy to become passive. It's hard to work. It's easy for me to show up after church services already started because a lot of you know that I've done that a lot with my family, right? We show up a little after church service starts, and we'll sit in the back. Then afterwards, we'll say hi to a few people, and we leave and we go home. That's so easy to do. And I think if we're honest with each other, if we're honest with ourselves, we'll do some self-reflection on how do I change that within myself? What steps do I need to do to be more active member of the Lord's army? You see, a lot of us... Okay, so there's this movie that I saw when I was a kid. Now, when I was a kid, we didn't have... Okay, like we had the basic cable that had like 15 channels or something. We didn't have Disney. We didn't have any of the other ones. And we didn't get to watch a lot of wrestling. We got to watch some wrestling. But Mom knew when to cut it off, right? When it was a little too much. So there's this character, Rowdy Roddy Piper. Okay? Some of you know who I'm talking about. Oh, Rowdy Roddy Piper. Well, he made a movie. It came on TV. And once again, so I'm not encouraging you to watch the movie because I have no idea what it's like outside of the TV edits. Maybe it's a really bad movie. I don't know. But I saw the TV edited version of it, and Rowdy Roddy Piper, he was a construction worker, and he finds this pair of sunglasses. Is anybody familiar with this movie, when he finds the sunglasses and what they do? So he goes, he puts these sunglasses on, he thinks, all right, these are kind of nice. Then he sees a lady look at him, and the lady that looks at him has this old, decrepit, crip-looking face. And he's like, whoa. And he pulls his sunglasses down, and it looks like a real pretty lady. He's like, what just happened? He puts them back on, and once again, her face just looks like something you'd see from Tales from the Crypt, all shriveled up and nasty looking. He takes them off, and he thinks he's going crazy. He puts them away for a little bit. Later on, he puts them back on and starts to walk around. He realizes that about half of the people he sees have these nasty looking faces. And everybody else with those glasses on, they look normal. Sometimes I wonder, or I guess in my life I've wished that God would just hand me a pair of sunglasses that I could put on and I could see what He sees. Let me take that back. Maybe I don't want to see that. All the grossness and the nastiness that's all around us, the impurities that us people proclaiming to be Christ-centered have in our own lives, would it put me into a state of depression? But sometimes I would like to see that. We know there's an example of this actually happening in the Bible, similar to it, not the exact situation. In 2 Kings chapter 6, and I think that's maybe on my next slide, 2 Kings chapter 6, you have a prophet Elisha. And the Israelites are warring against another group of people, and the leader, the king from this other group of people, says, hey, is there anybody who can tell us what to do to win this war? And they said, the only person is Elisha, and he's with the Israelites. They said, well, go to this Elisha guy and get him to come with us. So he sends an army. He doesn't send a troop. He doesn't send a small group. He sends an army to Elisha. They surround Elisha. Well, they come out early in the morning. They find out they're totally surrounded by an army. Elisha's servant is trembling in fear, or his assistant. And Elisha looks at him and says, "There's no need to worry. Those with us are far greater than those that are with him." And at that moment, Elisha prayed that God would clear up the eyes of the young man. It said the young man could see. And the mountains and the hills were full of horses and chariots of fire, waiting to be called. If we had those glasses, if we had God clear up our vision, what would we see? We wouldn't see what we see on the screen right now. We would see this. This is really what's happening right now all around us. It's so easy for me to be living here, because I have a hard time seeing this. But this is what's happening all around us. And this picture right here is from the movie Pearl Harbor. I know lots of people knock it for its historical accuracies. But this individual here, Petty Officer Doris Miller, he looks like he knows what he's doing. He's a cook. He received the second highest honor you can receive in the Navy. He's a cook. When Pearl Harbor was attacked, he went out and he brought several injured individuals to safety, and then he went and he manned an anti-aircraft machine gun until they stopped. He shot down several planes. He's a cook. He knew what was going on around him. He didn't stay in the kitchen and say, "My job's cooking. I think I'll stay in here until this is over." He got to work. And if we see throughout the entire New Testament, it's littered with examples of us being in a war. There's all kinds of fighting language in the New Testament. One example that I misunderstood when I was younger is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 25. When I was younger, I always thought, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves, as is the matter of some. I always saw that as, I got to make sure I go to church so I can check the box, so I can punch my time card to make sure that God's not mad at me because I didn't show up to church. That was a thought process I had. As I got older, I started reading everything around verse 25. I read before verse 25, verse 24. "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." Then the second half of 25, "but exhorting one another, and do so much the more as you see the day approaching." We're not here to be served. We are here to serve. Now, I am fully aware that some of us need to be served. I get that. We're not always going to be at the top of our game. We're not always going to be feeling on cloud nine. We're not always going to be feeling great, able to serve others. That's another reason to come, is to be served. But our number one reason should be to come to serve, to exhort others, to encourage others. Once again, we don't come so God's not mad at us because we missed a worship service. We're not here to punch our time clock, and then whenever we cash out on this life, we go to heaven, and God's going to bring up a whole book of all of our time cards, right? Look through our time cards and say, "Oh, look right here. Back in 2012, you missed a Wednesday night. Back in 2018, you missed a Sunday morning. What's going on?" He's not looking at time cards. He's looking at, when you do come together, are you exhorting one another? Why do you go to church? Is it to be served, or is it to serve others? My thought process on that was backwards for the longest time. You know, our number one example, Jesus Christ, he himself said he did not come to be served. The king of the universe, not the king of the United States or the world, of the universe, sent his son to this earth to serve others, not to be served himself. That's the example we have. If the king of the universe can send his son to wash feet, surely I can find something to do in his body, in his military here on earth. You know, I've got a story when I was, and it's kind of, I guess this kind of gets into the whole fact of sometimes it's really easy to overlook service opportunities. This was several years ago. We were going to Park Plaza. I was helping out with the Spanish congregation, and my typical Sundays is I would go to English church service and then English class and then Spanish church service in the mornings. And then for a little bit there, for 3 or 4 weeks, I ended up not going to English service. I would just go to English class and then Spanish church service. And I remember praying for 3 or 4 days solid, God, use me in your kingdom. God, help me to be a servant for you. God, use me in your kingdom. And I get up and I go to the English church service, and a guy comes up to me and he says, "Hey, Jason, so good to see you today." And I'm like, "Good to see you too." He says, "Hey, we're low on people passing plates today for the communion. Can you help us out?" I said, "Yeah, sure, I'll help you out." But down inside, I thought, I haven't been here in 3 weeks, and I walk in the door, and this guy, I just want to sit next to my family, I want to sit next to my nieces, and I want to hang out with my family and worship God, and this guy wants me to pass plates? I got home that night, I didn't think much of it. I was grumbling, complaining about it. I went to English class and then Spanish church. I got home and laid my head on the pillow at night and started my prayers, and I said, "Lord, use me in your kingdom. Help me to serve you." I started bawling my eyes out. I had not realized what my grumbling was all about. I prayed for God to use me. I said, "Make me a servant." And then he comes up and he gives me the opportunity, and I complain about it. That's not right, church. And I know I'm not the only one guilty of doing the same thing. But we're servants. We're here to serve. We need to do so without complaining, without grumbling. We need to do it with a smile on our face, knowing whose army we're in. We need to know whose patch is on our arm. I'm not in my own army. I got the Lord's name on my shoulder. So I guess the question, the reflection I'm leaving everybody with today is, how can you serve in the Lord's army? This is a question that's different for every single person. We all don't have the same skills. We all don't have the same abilities. Maybe there's not something that's currently available for you in this congregation. Maybe like others in other congregations, you start a homeless ministry. Maybe you need to start a feeding the homeless ministry. Maybe you need to help with donating clothes. Maybe you need to start dealing with orphanages and widows. Maybe within this congregation, you need to come to the leaders and say, "Hey, I want to start a group that serves widows more. I want to start a group that serves orphans more." If it's not happening right now, you can make it happen. Guess what? If you're not good at organizing, if you're not good at speaking, go find somebody who is and say, "Hey, let's team up on this. I got ideas, but I'm horrible at organizing. You're good at organizing. I'm good at coming up with ideas. Let's make this happen." I know it seems like I might be preaching to the choir. There's a lot of people in this congregation who really do enjoy serving, and we have so many people volunteering their time. But sometimes the choir does need a little fine-tuning, right? So please, give it some thought, give it some prayer over the next week or two, and think of how can I serve in the Lord's army? We were going to try to sing the song today, I'm in the Lord's army, but I couldn't remember which one came first. Fly over the enemy, shoot the artillery, or ride in the cavalry. And so I didn't want to sing it because I didn't want to get it all mixed up, all right? So, but your goal this next week or two is to think of how can you serve more in the Lord's army. If anybody in this congregation needs the prayers of this church, you need a visit with an elder, you'd like to put on Christ in baptism, these are all things that we can help you out with. You can either, if you're at home, you can email, text, call any of our elders or a David. If you're here today, you're more than welcome to come forward or just find somebody after church services. But let's all strive to be better servants of God.